Welcome to the Agency in Focus SOCOM, sponsored by Leidos. Now, here's your host, Tom Temin.
You might know it as an exoskeleton. The Tactical Assault Light Operator suit is a top research and development priority for U.S. Special Operations Command. It also represents some big technological challenges. This Iron Man suit is just one of many unique programs explored at the National Defense Industrial Association's annual Special Operations International Conference in Tampa. Among the explainers, James Smith, acquisition executive at U.S. SOCOM.
What we're really most interested in is enabling the individual operator. That's our focus. That's really what's peculiar about SOF, is how much capability we provide to the individual operator. Of course, those operators come together to form our teams, and those teams are what execute the SOF activities across the full spectrum of military operations. And those teams need to be able to prevail in all scenarios against all threats. So you know how successful those teams have been in the last 17 years in the engagements that we've asked them to engage in. How successful are they, and how successful can we help them be in the future battlefields that we may face in the very near future? So they need to prevail. They need to be indomitable. And then finally, those teams are supported by that soft peculiar equipment, everything from submersibles to satellites. And again, very successful equipment, very capable force. But as we move towards, as the National Defense Strategy asks us to do, into this construct of state-on-state competition and whatever comes next, how resilient are those platforms to those environments? The operator is our platform, and I think that's a powerful statement. You know, it's everything about increasing survivability, increasing their lethality, increasing their situational awareness, and increasing their ability to partner with interoperable international folks. That's where we're focused. Those of you that have been following us for the last few years know that we've had a real focus on the left-hand side of that chart with survivability. We've had our Tactical Assault Light Operator Suit program for the last several years. That program is going very well. On this stage, the commander at the time talked about the problem of the individual operator having to go through the door, knowing the risk on the other side of that door, but knowing that the reward, whether it was an American hostage or a weapon of mass destruction that needed to be secured, that the risk was worth the reward of that operation. But he challenged all of us and said, hey, what can we do to make that operator more survivable in that most dangerous situation? And so for the last few years, we've had a laser focus on that, and it's going very well. We've had some great industry partnership help with that, and we've had some great government partnership help with that. We knew going into this that there was going to be a real challenge. And the real challenge has to do with, you put a world-class athlete into a powered exoskeleton, that's going to be a very difficult technology challenge. And we're realizing a lot of those challenges. But this time next year, right around this time next year, we're going to put an operator into a powered exoskeleton and leading the DOD, really, on learning what that really means to operations and what's the art of the possible. In parallel and in combination with that, we've learned a lot through that Tactical Assault Light Operator Suit effort about providing greater situational awareness to the individual operator and about providing greater lethality. So as we focused on the physical domain of a powered exoskeleton, we've started to look at that digital domain as the CG introduced. Let's really focus on the hyper-enabled operator. Hyper really implies a continuous process. We enable the operator today. In fact, that operator on the right-hand side there has got what we call the tactical assault kit on his chest. That's an Android-based system that provides situation awareness that is far greater than what that operator had just 2 or 3 years ago. So enabling the operator is something we do. What the CG is asking is, how do we hyper-enable and take advantage of this rapidly improving technology to get ahead of it? So this is a multi-pronged process to take all of the data that's available to that individual operator, whether it's from partnered forces, whether it's from the wide array of sensor network, whether it's from the comms channels, take that data, and then, so that it doesn't become the fog of war, turn it into information that's decision quality information. How do you alleviate that fog of war and not just be throwing data at the operator? We think that's a combination of the communication pipes that were provided. We think it's a combination of the software and those technology-aided, decision-aided tools. You can say machine learning. I think that's part of the problem. I think there's other things that could contribute. to get after, turn that data into decision quality information. There's a user interface aspect of that, of course, that we're interested in. Again, one of the things we learned from the Talos program, they've got a look-down display that provides a lot of situation awareness right off the helmet to the operator. So those types of things are the things that we're looking to transition to the force in a hyper manner over time.
James Smith is acquisition executive at U.S. Special Operations Command. Up next, a peek inside the programs at SOCOM. I'm Tom Temin.
Leidos is proud to support U.S. SOCOM and its mission to protect America's interests around the world. SOCOM's can't-fail missions can't afford anything less than the latest cutting-edge technology. That's why at Leidos, we develop adaptive and agile solutions utilizing open systems architecture that rapidly integrates new innovations, ensuring special operations forces have the decisive advantage on the battlefield. At Leidos, we're helping SOCOM achieve mission success today and transform mission readiness for tomorrow. To learn more, visit leidos.com.
U.S. Special Operations Command's warfighters are hyper-trained. Acquisition Executive James Smith gave attendees at a recent conference a glimpse of how SOCOM makes sure they're hyper-enabled and equipped. He also described each program executive office and directorate within SOCOM.
The operations that we've been conducting over the last 17 years or so have been in somewhat benign environments in terms of communication, GPS, air domain, etc., all things you're familiar with. We've enjoyed a fairly clean comms environment. Obviously, the recent experiences in certain parts of the world have challenged that assumption, but what we need is to ensure that we've got assured communications to our operators. That takes on a multiple level, right? First of all, the operators require multiple channels. So we've got two-channel radios today that will provide for data and voice. How do we also ensure that they've got their primary means of communication, they've got an alternate means of communication, they've got a contingency means of communication, they've got an emergency means of communication? How do we ensure that the operator's got confidence that they can always connect to the network they need to connect to? Likewise, how do we ensure that the operator has the confidence that the information they're getting over their comms network is not being intercepted, spoofed, falsified? It's going to be a dirty comms environment in the very near future here. Finally, what really makes this SOC peculiar is the environments that we ask our operators to operate in. For instance, we've got SEALs that are down in the bowels of ships in metallic passageways. That's a very difficult signals environment. We've got operators that are in cave and tunnel complexes, very complex tunnel complexes. That's a difficult signals environment. So we're looking for your help on how do we get after that. Assured maneuver. The National Defense Strategy calls this forward force maneuver. The idea that you can deploy, operate, regenerate, maneuver, all those things in a contested environment. And again, so this is key to our force. Do our operators have the confidence that they can get where they need to go? When they get to where they need to go, do they have the fire support they need that's able to maneuver in support of them? Do they have the exfil capability they need? Do they have the resupply support they need? So this freedom of maneuver, even in a contested environment, is something that we're looking for your help on. We got to be able to detect when, or to avoid detection, first of all, to know when we've been detected, and to take defensive measures against current and future threats in that environment. This really gets to all of our platform PEOs, whether it's PEO fixed wing, PEO maritime, PEO rotary wing, to a certain extent for the ground portion, PEO Soft Warrior. Related to that, again, in this idea of a dirty environment, we are absolutely world-class at using GPS. We've got precision mobility, we've got precision munitions, we've got precision communications, all with GPS as an enabling technology. We cannot let GPS be the Achilles tendon of soft operations. So we've got to find alternate means of giving that same precision to soft operations in a GPS-denied environment. So what are the ways that we can shoot, move, and communicate even when we've lost GPS? PEO Fixed Wing's working on this quite a bit. Our Science Technology Directorate's working on this quite a bit. And our PEO for C4. Likewise, we just talked about munitions. Here's an area where SOFs enjoyed a lot of success. Precision munitions. But there's a unique set here that we really need to get after, and that's the idea that SOF's got the expectation for SOF in this domain is very high. The expectation is that we can hit what we want, where we want, when we want, without damaging anything else in the area, right? So we're looking for a precision munition that can loiter, so I can have it in the area and bring it down on target when the fleeting opportunity presents itself. We're looking for a munition that's got the right effect and can hit the exact target we're trying to hit. And when it hits that target, it does not have collateral effects on the surrounding area, infrastructure, etc. So that's a tall order. I also need that munition to be able to be called off target at the last second if the situation on the ground changes. And then finally, I need that to be employable from the air domain, the maritime domain, and the ground domain. I'd prefer to have one munition that does that from all three domains, but if we have to have a family of munitions, we're interested in that as well. For this one, PEO Soft Warrior is going to primarily be responsible for the munition itself, and then the platform PEOs will be for integration. So integrating on a fixed wing platform, PEO fixed wing, integrating on a maritime platform, PEO maritime. Information operations, military information support operations. This is an area, as you all know that follow the SOC community, this is a core competency for us. The ability to tell our message in clear text to a population. So how do you get access to that population in these contested environments we're talking about? And I think you would all agree that this is an area where any advantage that we've had is potentially been eroded. We've got some near-peer competitors out there that have gotten very good in the social media domain in beating us to the punch with their message. And I think we're gaining ground quickly, but that's something we've got to keep working on. And what we're really talking about here, and what I want to challenge you with a little bit more, is can I push that information support operations out to the edge? Those tactical units that are operating in and among a population or in close proximity to it, that have the best knowledge of what's going on within that population, can I push the capability to them to target their messaging and to get feedback, you know, almost real time or near real time of how that messaging is having an impact on the population or not? You know, is our message being heard? Is it an effective means of communication so that this U.S. story can get out there? If you're interested in this, this is PEO C4. Does our MISO, Military Information Support Operations, and support us off. Biomedical. Everyone here is familiar with the golden hour, the idea that if you can get an operator to a casualty to a primary care facility or to a greater facility of care within an hour, their probability of survival goes way up. Well, the truth is soft operations often take place outside that golden hour. They're operating in remote and austere locations. And so the challenge to y'all and to us is, how do we get that golden hour, that primary care-like capability, pushed as far forward as we can? So we're looking at things like proactive biomedical sensors that allow us to know when an operator is under stress before they become a casualty. We're looking at telemedicine so that we can get that like capability from a care facility forward to our fantastic medical personnel that operate with the teams. Likewise, we're trying to improve the quality of life for operators when they're out there in these remote and austere locations. You know, one of the things we hear often is, hey, I'm getting about 2 hours of sleep a night, and when I get that 2 hours of sleep, it's in a really uncomfortable position with the lights on and a lot of ambient noise. How can you make that 2 hours of really crappy sleep feel like 8 hours of sleep in your feather bed at home? So I think that's all doable, and I think that's actually something that's got a lot of commercial applicability that people will be interested in. So how did we do that? Biomedical, PEO Soft Warrior, and our Science Technology Directorate. Expeditionary logistics. So the National Defense Strategy calls for resilient and agile logistics. Certainly that applies to special operations in spades. The idea that for special operations, you know, General Thomas mentioned 9,000 soft operating in 90 different countries. And that doesn't mean there's, you know, 100 in each of those countries, if I did that math right. It actually means there's around, you know, 5,000 in one area, and then really small teams operating in a lot of those other countries. And so they're operating in these remote, austere locations at the very small team level. They can't afford to have a long log tail trailing along behind them. They need very agile logistics support that gets to them at the point of need, at the right time, with the right amount. We had some folks go downrange and visit our forces in Syria, and they were supporting a partner force. And the partner force was operating outside that golden hour. And the operators on the ground came up with a, you want to talk innovation, a fantastically innovative solution. They took these mobile technology repair complexes. These are shops in a box that we push out to the edge of the battlefield. These are, you know, shops with a lathe and a drill press and a 3D printer, and most importantly, an engineer and a technician to operate all of it. These operators out there took that shop in a box. They took two individual container units, you know, these sleeping units that folks would sleep in. They welded them together and they turned it into an emergency room. You know, surgical bed, IV hookups, all that good stuff. They put this unit on the back of a flatbed and they put it within a few hundred meters of the front lines of operation. And so they were doing combat medicine within a few hundred meters, well within the golden hour, in support of this partner force. They were using freeze-dried plasma, which is another thing that's unique to the soft environment right now. This idea that, you know, you can't carry around plasma with you because you got to keep it refrigerated, but you can use a powderized freeze-dried plasma. They were using that as well at this MTRC-built emergency room to support operations. That's a great example of logistics just in time, sustainment just in time at the point of need that our forces can use to support operations.
James Smith is acquisition executive at U.S. Special Operations Command. After this short break, hear Smith explain what it's like to work with the Tampa-based Florida Command. I'm Tom Temin.
Leidos is proud to support U.S. SOCOM and its mission to protect America's interests around the world. SOCOM's can't-fail missions can't afford anything less than the latest cutting-edge technology. That's why at Leidos, we develop adaptive and agile solutions, utilizing open systems architecture that rapidly integrates new innovations, ensuring special operations forces have the decisive advantage on the battlefield. At Leidos, we're helping SOCOM achieve mission success today and transform mission readiness for tomorrow. To learn more, visit leidos.com.
Special Operations Command uses a variety of acquisition strategies to obtain what are sometimes unusual requirements. Now, SOCOM is expanding use of grants. James Smith, SOCOM's acquisition executive, explains with advice for contractors on how to work with SOCOM.
Interoperable partners. If you've got a piece of equipment that's really expensive, exquisite, requires a lot of fine tuning to keep it in the fight, if we can't export it because of some elegant technology as part of it, it's not going to support partnered operations. What we need is affordable, exportable, interoperable equipment to really enable partnered operations. And I want to debunk some myths here about this. If you call us and you contact our technology industry liaison office, also known as the TILO, you're not just talking to that one person. Sheldon's got a list of subject matter experts throughout the command that when you present a technology to her, she sends it off to her list of subject matter experts from the command. So you're actually getting feedback from many people. She takes that feedback back from them, these subject matter experts, and then sends you back a response. And that response back to you should be something along the lines of, hey, great idea, please bring us in for a briefing. Great idea, please provide some more information in the forms of a white paper. Great idea, please come to one of our technology experimentation events. Great idea, please bring this to SOFTWORKS. But you should get feedback. And if you get feedback that just says no thanks, that's insufficient and I want to know about it. But sometimes, you know, quite honestly, the answer will be, hey, thank you for your interest, but we just can't use this technology right now, and here's why. You deserve to know why, but I think we also need to be intellectually honest with each other. Hey, we just can't use that right now. Our small business team, we're very proud of our competition rates. We think that's important to the command. We compete about 73 cents of every dollar. We are also equally very pleased with our small business numbers. Not because we're trying to meet some DOD goal, but because we truly believe that small business is a great place for innovation, agility, and quite frankly, new ideas. Adaptive and responsive. Vulcan is an online tool. It is a tool where you, as an industry partner, can enter into your technology, whether it's white papers, photos, videos, what have you. You can enter into that. And then all of us that have a DOD ID card, a government CAC card, we can see that technology. We can go through there. We can search that database. We can ask you questions. We can grade your technology. We can say, hey, I saw that technology last year at SOFIC. Here's my thoughts on it. And so you've got this really robust online forum. For you industry partners, what I think you should appreciate is that's a one-way street for you. That's a you enter data, you get feedback on your information. You cannot see other folks' information. You cannot access other folks' information. So your information is protected. From a DoD perspective, you got a very large audience that you're presenting that to. The important thing here for me is, this is much larger than SOCOM. The Army is using this tool now in the Research and Development Command. DoD is using this tool now. In fact, I was just talking to the program manager next door in program Ballroom D this morning that we really need to think about changing the name to something that's more intuitive, first of all, and something that doesn't have the dash soft. It started here, but as General Thomas said, a good idea that starts here sometimes proliferates to the greater DoD, and this is something we want to get out there, and it's being used across the force. Other transaction authorities, or agreements rather. A fantastic tool for us, a fantastic ability for us to reach those of you that see DoD contracting or the FAR as a barrier to entry. This tool was specifically provided to us by Congress to get after those of you that don't have a core competency in DoD acquisition, but you've got a great technology we're interested in. So if you've got a prototype and you're not comfortable with DoD acquisition, talk to us about OTAs. We're developing our own competency in dealing with those, and they've been proven to be very useful. We've used them in support of the tactical assault light operator suit. We've used them in support of buying munitions for our precision-guided munitions program, and to great effect. Grants and cooperative agreements. If you're an academic partner and you're not used to dealing in the contract world, we just received authority to interact with you in grants. We've done grants before. But they were through a third-party entity, and so with the typical cost and schedule impact, we now can do that directly with you. So I want to roll that authority out. So partnership intermediary agreements, that is how we do softworks. We're using that to great effect. And of course, DIUX, you're all familiar with that. Sitting out there in the middle of Silicon Valley, we've got a good partnership with them as well. Time sensitive. Listen, my promise to you is, I know the operator's expectations for schedule. In a world of cost, schedule, performance, there is a real emphasis on schedule that's appropriate to a combatant command and appropriate to a combatant command of USSOCOM with its relevancy on the current battlefield. So we spend all of our time thinking of ways to streamline our acquisition strategies and to tailor our contract strategies so we can get after schedule. And I need your help to do the same. If you think we're slow on schedule, challenge us on it. And then be prepared when we ask you why it's getting so long for us to negotiate a contract, et cetera. Tempo is an important part of our business here, and it's one of our things that separate us, I think, from maybe traditional acquisition.
James Smith is the acquisition executive at U.S. Special Operations Command. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Agency in Focus, SOCOM, sponsored by Leidos on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. The entire program can be found on demand at federalnewsradio.com. Search Agency in Focus.